Nashla Said is a lot of things. She's an actress, a playwright, an author. And as long as we're talking labels, she is also a Palestinian, Lebanese, Christian, Arab-American who grew up on New York's Jewish Upper West Side. And she's the daughter of the late Edward Said, the famous Palestinian intellectual and activist. Ann Strainchamps recently sat down with Najla to talk about her new book, Looking for Palestine, Growing Up Confused in an Arab-American Family.
A lot of people seem to be surprised that the daughter of Edward Said could grow up confused about identity. But I think that growing up for you, growing up Arab-American, was a lot more complicated than it was for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when I set out to tell this story, I thought it was kind of interesting because I, in reflecting on my own life, realized that I had grown up in a very specific time in history, in a very specific place in history in which it was really difficult and bizarre to be an Arab. Meaning I was born in 1974 and my mom's from Lebanon, and the war, the civil war in Lebanon began about a year later. So then my entire childhood was kind of taking place as this civil war that lasted for almost 16 years was raging in Lebanon. There was, of course, when I was about 13 or 14, my dad started appearing on television a lot, talking about the Palestinian Intifada, which had begun at that point.
That must have been the mid-80s then, right?
Yeah, sort of 87, 88-ish. Yeah. I was just about coming to be a teenager, and I had been, at that point, isolated from the Middle East for a few years. So that's what I grew up with around me, and I was trying to be American, but I couldn't find myself here either.
And then what about on your mom's side? Because your mother's family comes from Lebanon.
My mom also comes from a very intellectual family as well. So that's part of it. But my mom's family, though originally Eastern Orthodox Christian, my great-grandfather had converted to Quaker when he went to a Quaker. It was a colonial school in Lebanon. It was run by British Quakers, but he was very taken with their beliefs. So he converted. So we were one of and still are, I think, one of three Quaker Lebanese families. So, but my dad's Palestinian. So I didn't know what that meant. And my mother would say, well, we're not that. We're not those people. So every time there was like a connection or an identity that I could grab onto, there was something off about it. And so if there's one identity that I feel is the strongest in me, it's that of being a New Yorker. I think a lot of New Yorkers feel like they're not quite totally Americans. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of things that just kept felt really confusing and just mixed up. It's still like I hate when people ask me where I'm from in social situations where it's just casual conversation or what kind of a name is that? Because I don't know. It's still because I grew up in a time where people would be like, oh, and sort of pull away. And they sometimes still do.
Najla, I want to take you back to the summer of 1992, I think it was. It's the summer you graduated from high school, and your family went to Israel for the first time. And this was a momentous trip for all of you in different ways. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Well, in the summer before that, 1991, my father had been diagnosed with chronic lymphocytic leukemia, which he eventually passed away from. But so at that point, he had decided that he wanted to make a trip back to Palestine. He'd left when he was about 12 or 10 years old and, you know, in 1947, and he had not been back since. So it was partly a family trip, and it was very important because he was dealing with his mortality and he wanted us to go with him and see where he came from. But it was also very strange because he was writing an article, so there was a photographer with us the entire time, and and my father kept having to do all these interviews while we were there, and it became a, you know, sort of a media event because, you know, Edward Said returning to Palestine for the first time in, you know, 50 years. It was a big deal.
But I mean, just what you're saying, there's a moment on that trip you write about, and I'm not going to get this right, but your dad kind of turned to you and said, you know, it's our generation that did this. You know, so suddenly you're looking at all these little kids around the streets in West Jerusalem, East Jerusalem, Arab kids and Israeli kids, and they see each other as enemies because of conflicts and things that your dad's generation couldn't solve. And did he feel guilty about that?
Well, what he actually said, which I think you paraphrased beautifully, he said that he's like, our generation was too close to it, that his generation and the generation of my grandparents was too attached to all these actual events that had created this division and this conflict, and that my generation, hopefully growing up in a world where, you know, for example, if someone is my age and they are Israeli, they were just born there. So at what point does the this is mine, not your, because I've never lived there. I was not born there. So it's a very awkward situation. And he was hoping that perhaps my generation would be more able to sort of solve the problem and learn how to share and live together. And that was a little overwhelming to me.
Yes. Well, and in the meantime, on that trip, you were by then going through anorexia. So you talk about going through, I don't mean to laugh. I mean,
no, it's fine.
You write also amusingly about something that was obviously deeply painful, but on this entire trip, I mean, you were barely eating.
Yeah, I was not eating at all. And I think in this context, it was very much a sort of physical thing that showed how I didn't belong and how different I was. You know, we were there on this trip and everyone was inviting us to meals. Arabs are known for being, yeah, their hospitality and eating and feeding. And that's how you show love. And you don't say no when someone offers you food. Of course, I would say no, I don't want, no thank you. And I would sit there and stare at the plate, or I'd give my brother my food. And I didn't do it on purpose, of course, but it was certainly an unconscious thing that I was feeling, which was that I am American. I'm Western. I have this Western problem where I don't eat, and I'm sort of making myself not fit in here.
For some reason, the next story, the image I have in my mind, it's from near the end of your book, and you're back in Lebanon. This might have been fairly recently, and there's an Israeli bombing strike. There's planes, war planes, right, that are going overhead. And you have a complicated reaction.
Yep.
I just want, yeah, can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. There's this thing about bombs. They are so frightening. You can't, like, watch a movie or put a sound effect in a play and really replicate what that feels like and what it sounds like, because it is the loudest sound. And I guess psychologically, because you know it is a bomb, the reaction to it is paralyzing. And it's incessant. And the planes keep going overhead and the bombs keep going off. And then you'll hear, like, boom, 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 like rifles. And it's so frightening because you don't know where to go or what to do or where they're coming from. So what happens is you get insanely angry. And I think a lot of people in America during 9/11 can understand this feeling. You feel like you're being attacked. So you get angry and you just want the people who are attacking you to die. And you just start screaming. So I had this moment where I'm like, I hate you, and cursing out all these Israeli planes and feeling such anger. And then getting over it because I'm American and I eventually left. And I know, you know, I know lots of nice Israelis who don't believe this is the right thing to do. I live in New York. I was on the phone every day with my Jewish therapist. And she was, you know, very like, I miss you. You're going to be okay. I'm so sorry this is happening. We'll get you out. You know, so it was very odd.
Yeah.
But I could only have the luxury of having that logical, like that sort of calming down and rationalizing the situation, because I do live on the outside and because I could leave and I had somewhere to go. And so I was basically saying that when you live there, whether you're Israeli or Arab, and you're constantly, the only thing you know of these other people is this feeling that they bring out in you when they're attacking you, you're not going to stop hating each other.
Najla Said's book is called Looking for Palestine, Growing Up Confused in an Arab-American Family. Najla is the daughter of Palestinian activist and intellectual Edward Said. Anne Strangeham spoke with her.